This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Checked away by Harley. He then gets knocked down. Play goes on and scored by Sherwood. After Harley was taken down behind the net, Kiefer Sherwood completes one of the most improbable comebacks you'll ever see.
And that is the call on Victory Plus, and that is how we start on Sean and RJ on your Hump Day edition.
Hump Day.
105.3 The Fan. Very melancholy. Very melancholy. Bobby Belt here, Peyton Russell and Aiden alongside. I'm RJ Choppy, but the Stars are now part of NHL history. Not for the way you want to be. Not for a championship. Not for, hey, you know, most goals scored in a game. Not for most goals, you know, most saves per shot taken. No. But they are the first team, Bobby Belt, in NHL history to blow a 3-goal lead with a minute to play.
This is a depressing, you mentioned melancholy. That's a good word for it, because this was, I
was 30 before I knew the definition of melancholy.
Does Peyton know it? Peyton, what's melancholy mean?
Kind of sad, man.
All right, very nice.
Okay, very good. Yeah. I picked the Stars last night over the Rangers. I was checking in on the Rangers, but I was primary Stars. That was the main thing that I was watching
time here, man.
And so I was in on the Stars, and they managed to blow not only a 3-goal lead with a minute left, but they blew a 3-0 lead before that. Like, it was a 3-0 lead heading into the third period, all three on power plays, and then you had the Canucks start coming back. They made a couple goals. It felt really close there at the end, and it's like, okay, all right, we got some breathing room. I even tweeted that. I was like, all right, this feels a little safer now. I saw a tweet last night that they were still researching to find out for sure, but they believed that last night was the first time a team had scored an empty netter up 2 and then lost the game.
Oh, that hurts.
It's insane. 3 goals in a minute.
Yeah. Vancouver would have been eliminated from Stanley Cup playoff contention with a regulation loss. But then they become the first team in NHL history to overcome that 3-goal deficit in the final minute. They scored 5 goals overall in the third period. They tied the game with 7 seconds to go. And this is even worse for the Stars, because you had Winnipeg coming into town tomorrow night. And the Stars were, you know, they were entering this game, 3 points back?
Yeah, I mean, they were already.
They were fighting an uphill battle.
Yeah.
But they had a chance.
Yeah, and then they just completely collapsed here. Pete DeBoer's face last night after the game-tying goal and then the overtime goal was just, he was stunned. And rightfully so. I mean, I literally had heard the first goal of those three. I was like looking down because I was like, all right, game over. And so I was just getting some stuff. I heard the first goal. I was like, oh, okay, they scored. I looked down. I started looking up again right as they scored the second one. I was like, all right, well, I mean, this is a little scary now, but surely they're not going to do this in the last 10 seconds of the game. And then sure enough, they did.
Yeah.
They did.
It stinks, man. I mean, that was 2 points you needed. That was two that you needed to stay. Because, you know, you were 3 back going into 2 nights ago. Winnipeg played. You know, they got the win, so they went up 5. You needed to get the win to get back to 3 to have this game with the Jets where you could have gotten it down to one with a win. You got four to play. Now you're down a full four with four to play.
I mean,
it's basically that much more difficult.
Three goals in a minute feels like, obviously the stakes were higher, but that feels worse than blowing a 28-3 lead with 2 minutes left in the third quarter, like the Falcons did.
It was 2 minutes left in the third quarter?
2 minutes left in the third quarter before they scored like the field goal or the touchdown or whatever they got that then put them on, like started the comeback. And they were down with like 6 minutes left by like 16. But, I mean, that's like Miracle at the Meadowlands when the Eagles are down 21 with 6 minutes left and they win that game in regulation.
It was the Herm Edwards game?
No, this is the next one.
Part two.
Yeah, the part two where DeSean Jackson ran back the punt.
Yeah.
But either way, I mean, that's three goals in a minute. Just that, I'm trying to think of, that feels like being down 10 in the ninth and coming back and tying it.
Yeah, and look, the Stars had three power play goals in the first couple of periods. They played, they're really sound. There's a Fresh Spits and Suds podcast, from what I hear.
On the Odyssey
app.
That's
a great, that's like one of the highest podcasts in the whole company.
It's the top Stars podcast in DFW.
It absolutely is. So Stars with a tough one last night and a brutal way to start this morning off for us, because the Rangers also suffered themselves a tough loss. We got Luca in tonight. Lots to get to here on a hump day dish. Got some hump guests day. Today too, Bobby.
Yeah, no, it's full show today. 8 o'clock, we got Dane Brugler. 9 o'clock, Adam Schefter. We actually talked to Schefter yesterday, so we'll be playing that back for you guys. But he was really good. A lot of good info there. And then we got Brett Boone at 9:20. So it's a full show. But the big thing that we're focusing on today is Luka Doncic, because Luka is back. Last night, Luka in Oklahoma City, there was a little bit of people were kind of surprised. They had a bunch of guys questionable with LA. They were playing all of them. JJ Redick said, "We got four games left to play. I want to win them all." And so he was playing Luka. And so he was going to play Luka on a back-to-back. Well, we know Luka got a little bit of rest because Luka gets ejected in this game with 7 minutes left and the Lakers up one for talking trash to a fan in the front row.
I'm happy here.
It was the softest ejection I think I've ever seen. Everybody just started melting down. And now we get the whole setup tonight here in Dallas.
Dude, like that, you cannot eject him in that position if you're the referee in a tight game like that.
I mean, I don't even give a damn that it's a tight game. You can't eject him for talking to a fan. Like, that's... Luka should have been ejected 100 times in his career if that's the case. He does it every game almost.
Yeah.
That's what he does. The league loves it. People love when Luka gets worked up and he finds somebody on the road to talk smack to. I think
the official thought he was talking to him.
Well, then the official is a P word.
Whoa.
Flat out. Which word? Like, I mean, he is. What?
Yeah.
Which word?
Which word?
You know which one. But that's...
Can you not reverse the tech, I guess, if the ref knew, okay.
He could have. He could have said, my bad.
I suppose you can.
You can rescind the tech. He just didn't. He's got an ego, and he wanted to make it about him. The league should punish that guy.
How bad would it have been if that was, like, Luka's whatever tech and got him suspended the game, and he missed tonight's game?
Oh, my God.
That would have been awful.
I would guess... I mean, you could appeal that, couldn't you?
Can you appeal? Yes, you probably can.
So I think you can delay the game.
The league can decide to rescind.
The league would... There's zero chance the league would let him sit out this game.
Oh, I know. They would probably fine him if he sat out on load management. If he Sean Sharif to this game, I bet you they would fine him.
Look, for all the ways that Adam Silver typically kowtows to the players, I don't know why he continues to let the referees just act like God out there on the court. That's for a league that has a major branding problem right now and a quality problem, you're going to throw Luke out in the middle of a premier game, Oklahoma City and Los Angeles. 1-point game in the fourth quarter, 7 minutes left. You're going to let them throw him out of the game. That's ridiculous. That official needs to be punished, probably needs to be fired.
I mean, like, should, like seriously, like should it matter if it's a tech in the first quarter, should not be a tech in the fourth?
It shouldn't be a tech. It shouldn't be a tech, period. But especially if you're talking about one that's going to eject him.
So the stakes do
change. Like, you can't, like, you need to swallow the whistle. Like, it's a bad call in the first quarter. It is a fireable call when you do it in the fourth quarter. And
well, so do you think that the referee should know how many fouls a player has?
They know how many techs he has.
No, I know they know how many techs he has. Do you think they should know how many fouls? If the guy is sitting on five fouls, they should
as
have.
As an unspoken rule, probably. Like, there's certain ticky-tack ones you probably shouldn't give somebody their sixth. That's just an unwritten rule thing. But, I mean, you talk about it. That's an egregious one that should get you. No, it absolutely should. Peyton, I just sent you a clip. You can play it directly off Twitter if you want. The Lakers announcers last night lost their damn mind. John Ireland was freaking out over this call. And Michael Thompson was trying to explain it a little bit, give it context. He also disagreed with it, but he was trying to give it context. And it was John Ireland was having none of it. They almost sounded like they were getting tense with each other when Michael Thompson was trying to defend a little bit. Peyton, do you have it up there? Yeah, he's got it. All right, listen to this, Chop.
Hey, with him, Luka throws up an 8-footer. Good. And the Lakers lead 108-107.
Oh, Luka just got thrown out.
Why?
He was talking trash to a fan, and the referee thought he was talking to him.
Oh, this is an absolutely horrible decision by JT Orr, by the official. Absolutely horrible. You cannot throw a star player out of an NBA game for talking to a fan.
No, the referee thought he was talking to him, and that's why he threw Luka out.
You cannot do this. Oh, my gosh. This is unconscionable. You cannot do this in a game that's this good. This is one of the worst pieces of officiating I have ever seen, and I've done this for 25 years. I hate this call, and I would say the same thing if they were doing it to Shea. The free throw's good to tie the game at 108. You cannot, Michael, throw a star player out of the game for talking to a fan.
He didn't think he was talking to the fan.
I don't care.
The referee thought he was talking to him. That's why he threw Luka out.
They had three Lakers explain it to him, and he still stuck to his guns because his ego is bigger than Luka staying in the game.
John Ireland.
Wow.
Furious.
Wow.
But that's the reality of it. You can't do that. You can't. Now, look, the bright side here is it saved him 7 minutes. He's not going to be worn down.
Seven minutes
of up and down the court matters, especially if you listen to Nico and what a fat ass he thinks Luka is. And so that'll preserve him tonight. He'll get his cardio in, and I'm excited. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about at 7:20 is I just want to know what everybody wants out of tonight. Because you're not going to be happy about tonight. If Luka comes in here and turns it on, you're going to be depressed that he's gone. You'll be like, ha, stuck it to you, Nico. But in your head, you're going to be depressed. If he plays poorly, you're going to be mad that he didn't stick it to the Mavericks. You know, there are all the different outcomes that could happen tonight. I don't know if any of them end in happiness. It feels like one of those days where Mavericks fans are just going to be a little like, you know what? I'm turning over to being sad. I want to be sad. I want to lose myself in the sadness a little bit tonight. I think that's what we're setting up for.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting way. I don't know how I'm going to feel about tonight. I really don't. I think Ireland went a little bit overboard there. It's like you can't chirp like that when you've already got a tech. You can't toe that line either. The referee can't throw him out, the player can't toe that line.
Just
keep quiet. You know what I mean? Like you can't toe that line. You can't drive by a police officer on the highway and say, oh, you know what? I'm just going to go 9 under. Show him.
No.
And then get mad when he gives you a ticket.
No, because the whole ejection in the first place shouldn't. It's a bad call. It's like you just got ticketed
again,
for driving the speed limit.
I agree with you. I wouldn't have thrown him out.
It doesn't break a rule. It's literally never been a thing that gets you tossed from a game.
I understand that, but it's like, you know, like, Why even talk in class if the teacher's already pissed off at you?
He's talking to the fan. That's literally never been an issue. He's had texts and had issues with the referees before, and if he's talking to a fan, it's not gotten him in trouble. Not something that... It's like talking trash to another player. It doesn't get you thrown out.
Tonight's going to be interesting, though. You're right. I don't know how to feel about this one. I wonder how many fans will be there strictly rooting for Luka, not rooting for the Lakers, right? Mm-hmm. They won't cheer when LeBron scores. But when Luka scores, it'll feel like a Mavs home.
No, that'll be 100%. 100% of the crowd will cheer when Luka scores. That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
So
there you go. Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. There was an entertaining game at Wrigley, but it ended in maybe the worst way possible for the Texas Rangers. Next on The Fan.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The 1-0. Swing and a ball driven out into right field that drops for the base hit. Adolis is up with it. Hap scores. Tucker being waved around. He's in as well. It's a two-run single for Dansby Swanson. He's driven in four tonight, and the Cubs take the lead 8-6.
That is Hixie with the call of the game you heard right here, and that was a tough one. It was like an entertaining game. A lot of back and forths, a lot of ins and outs and what have yous, but an entertaining game, but a brutal way to finish for the Rangers, especially when you factor in the Wyatt Lankford injury scare, as we said.
As he has to leave the game, and it's right as soon as you get Josh Young back, which it was great to have Josh Young back outside of the error. That wasn't so fun, but, I mean, Josh Young comes back, goes 3-for-4, looked like, you know, looked like what you'd expect it to look like when Josh Young's out there. And so that was good. It was nice to see the offense show up. They put up 6 runs. They get 12 hits. Like, they looked more like themselves a little bit last night. It just, a lot of issues in the field, a lot of issues with the pitching. And last night just was not your night. You claw back to get that 6-6 tie, and then you have those 4 unearned runs in the 8th inning. And it was just, this is not going to be their series, it doesn't feel like. I would say not. I feel good about today either.
No. About this afternoon's game? Yeah. 1:20. Let's see. 1 o'clock pregame right here on 105 through The Fan. I mean, Leody butchering a fly ball in center field. I blame the fact that he's wearing a hoodie. Like, he's not wearing like a long sleeve
shirt. People
did
not like that take yesterday. Some people on the we posted that clip on YouTube, and you going off on Leody. There are some people who didn't like it. They're like, no, that's the play is the hoodie. So they didn't like your hoodie take.
You can't wear a hoodie as a Major League Baseball player under your under your uniform. You want to wear a long sleeve shirt under there, fine. You can't wear a hoodie.
Uni watch.
It's absurd. You've already mentally checked out of that baseball game. you've already lost. You've lost to the elements. Ask any football player, ask any NFL player if they would wear a long sleeve shirt. They will tell you you've mentally checked out of the game.
Sleeved up Dak. Remember, that was the thing for a while. People thought he played better with the sleeves, and then he started playing
poorly. Those are compression sleeves, though. That's
different.
That's way different. Yeah, compression sleeve, fine. I mean, he's not even wearing like one of those T-shirt hoodies. This is a full-on, you know, whole squad ready hoodie. That's what this thing is. It's like what we're wearing in the studio. Like, you can't do that as a Major League Baseball player. And that's why the God said so. He butchered the fly ball. But yeah, the Rangers suffer a tough defeat. And look, they don't score many runs. They don't score many runs on the road this year. Period. They don't score a lot on the road. And they did yesterday. You know, you get 6 runs, you should expect to win, but you know, this happens. Obviously, this was the Patrick Corbin spot start in replace of Jack Leiter, who went on the IL with a blister.
That's
all he's supposed to be as a spot starter. You can't expect much from him. He was available for you in the middle of February, March for a reason.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to look pretty similar to what you saw, which is two walks, no strikeouts, and a home run given up in four innings. That's going to be basically what he gives you. But the Wyatt Langford thing is the thing that you got to watch out for this morning. Kennedy Landry at TexasRangers.com. She had said that he's going to get an MRI this morning. Oh, I just got blue screen of death again. Kennedy Landry said that he's going to... No. Yeah, I know. That's not good. I don't like that. But Kennedy Landry said that he's going to get an MRI this morning, and then that's what we'll figure out from there about the right side tightness. But it's anytime you start seeing, because that was our biggest concern heading into this year, was just their health. And you've already had a stint for Josh Jung. Jack Leiter's got the blister. Now Wyatt Langford needs his MRI. It's just that's concerning.
Yeah, it really is. The last thing you want, you can't have Wyatt Langford for an offense that isn't like clicking yet. You can't have, you know, one of your best hitters, maybe your best by the end of the year.
Oh, I mean, right now he is.
Right now he is, but you know, maybe for the whole year, you know, when the whole thing, I don't want to sit here and say 10 games in, oh, this is your best guy. I mean, like, it's only 10 games. But, you know, at the end of the year, I said earlier before the season started, I said, he's going to be the Rangers MVP this year. And he is the best. This is his team at the end of this year. It may be his team right now.
I mean,
it may be his team, but you can't have that guy, you know, going on the injured list with an oblique strain or whatever, a side tightness, whatever you want to call it. Because those things last a while.
That's something you don't want to mess with. And look, Wyatt Langford apparently after the game said he's not terribly concerned about it. It's a precautionary thing. But it's still not a factor you want to introduce into this thing. Especially while Wyatt Langford is your best hitter. God, Marcus Semien is your worst right now. He can't hit the ball, dude.
No, he can't.
And we talked about it yesterday, I think, where we talked about his bat speed and how it's at a ridiculously low level right now. It's a career low level. It's I think he's in the fifth percentile for bat speed.
That's good, though, when you're in the top five.
Yeah, no. This is the fifth percentile, which means he's in the bottom 95. But it's just Marcus Semien cannot hit leadoff anymore. I don't think they can have him out there anymore.
Look, I would drop
not,
him.
Not in the lineup, just not at leadoff. He can't lead off anymore.
I would drop him in the lineup. I would not have a problem with Josh Smith as the leadoff, and then Seager, and then Langford. Now, if you wanted to flip-flop Langford and Seager to stay away from lefty-lefty, I'm fine with that. I also would not have a problem leading off Wyatt Langford.
No, I wouldn't either.
He's got speed. And you want, you know, the leadoff, like there's this newer kind of, doesn't Shohei lead off still? Newer kind of theory that you want your best hitter leading off because you get more at bats. The leadoff hitter, I went and found this yesterday. Let me pull it up real quick. I took a screenshot. The leadoff hitter gets around 750 plate appearances if you play all 162.
Yeah, you're maximizing it in a bit. Like, you're talking about potentially a...
Well, I got the numbers here.
Yeah.
So, 750. The two-hole hitter gets 733. So, that's 17 at-bats less. The three-hole hitter, which is where Wyatt is right now, gets 714. So, you're looking at, you know, almost 40 more at-bats. That's one at-bat every four games. All right? And then if you go to fourth, you know, the four-hole, it's over 50 at-bats. That's one at bat every three games.
Yeah.
More than the four hole hitter. Like, that's, you know, over the course of the year, how many runs is that?
Well, I mean, just as we stand and look at it right now, he has, you say it's 40 more plate appearances, roughly 40 to 50. He has,
it's be about 40 more plate appearances for the leadoff hitter versus the three hole.
He has four home runs in 48 plate appearances already this year. So, I mean, you're talking about
an extra four home runs.
Yeah. And that's a difference.
Significant. That's significant over the course of a year.
Gosh, Wyatt Langford's WAR, wins above replacement, it's already almost up to one.
Wow.
He's at 0.8.
Look, man, I had him at 40-1 win the MVP.
If they
win the West, he'll be in the running. But tough day.
It's a bad day just in general for the Stars and then the Rangers. The fact that you had both of those, the Rangers clawing back and then blowing it in the eighth, and the Stars obviously blowing that 3-goal lead.
They cannot stop the other team's running, stolen base game.
No. Jonah Heim had the error yesterday. Chicago had four or five steals last night. It's not, It's not what you want it to be yet, for sure.
I didn't understand the overturned call on Simeon in the ninth. I also don't know why he was stealing there. I mean, I get he was trying to stay on the double play maybe, but...
I mean, there's a lot I don't understand about Marcus Simeon right now in general.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I didn't get that at all. But
it does feel a little bit like...
You're down four. What are you stealing a base for?
It does feel a little bit like... You remember the end with Chu? Where Chu got to a point where...
Everybody hated
his,
him.
His was with injuries, but yeah. He got to a point where it's just like he wasn't... And you knew it. He was not going to be worth the contract at the end.
Right.
And you're starting to get to that point, I feel like, with Marcus Simeon. I mean, you were getting there last year. This year, man, he just does not look like he can catch up to a fastball. And that's concerning for me. What ended up happening yesterday with the update, we talked about it late in the show, the Octavio Dotel situation. And there was some confusion yesterday, yes. too, about the reports. We kept seeing different outlets reporting different things that, oh, he's been yeah. pulled and he's safe. Others say, no, he's passed away. So what was the situation yesterday?
We had told us at the end of the show that there was a nightclub that a roof collapsed
mm-hmm.
in the Dominican Republic, and that Octavio Dotel was among those feared to be in the rubble. And also Nelson Cruz, who was also there, and they were saying that they believed this was Nelson Cruz's sister
mm-hmm.
and that she was confirmed to have lost her life during this. Well, Peyton sends a text to the group chat. I'm going to talk about the group chat here.
Oh, good. Well, you're the one who has a problem with it yeah. usually, so you can approve it.
And it was, and I think he said something like, man, they said Dotel did die. And I had literally just got a notification from the ESPN app that said, Octavio Dotel survives.
Yeah. Oh, people responded to the tweet Peyton sent from Talking Baseball. People responded to it saying, you need to fact check because
yeah.
ESPN saying he's alive.
So I guess what they said is also Tony Blanco died in this too. He's also another former major leaguer. And this is an iconic nightclub, apparently. More than 110 people. So yesterday, it was like, all right, there was 18 people that were confirmed dead. Then it was 58. And now the number is at 113 people were killed.
Jeez.
Which is 255 more were injured. This was a 1 a.m. collapse during this concert at the Jet Set nightclub in Santo Domingo. And they don't know why it collapsed. But so there was the confusion around Dotel. And I guess what happened is they pulled him from the wreckage and they transported him. He was alive, and then he either died in transport or died at the hospital.
Oh,
awful. 113 people.
Do you remember
are you gonna go with the fire at that like Rhode Island nightclub or whatever?
No, I was actually gonna go with this reminded me of at first when I heard the story. And yesterday I'd seen, when I saw the story yesterday, it was up to 28, I think, that had died. And it reminded me of, do you remember that that Jewish wedding like 20 years ago, that video of the floor collapsing?
Yeah.
And that was just this massive. And I went and had to look it up just now. I was like, how many? Because that was a big deal. I looked it up. 23 people died in that. We're talking about, this is over 100 now.
113.
I mean, that's devastating.
It's terrible.
Absolutely devastating. And yesterday, I think it was.
You're just going out for a good time. It's a big concert.
I think it was Jason Stark yesterday who had tweeted about Octavio Dotel and just talking about like that was one of the all-time great dudes. Like he was yeah. he was such an awesome guy and such a big personality and so full of positivity in life. And like this is one of the more devastating losses.
My buddy Wesley texted yesterday, said, man, I don't know how true this is. You know, it could be a fan making a story up. But he said that he yelled at Dotel in the bullpen, you suck. And he goes, I know. And that was just kind of, he's just like, you know, but he played for everybody too.
Oh, gosh.
He played for like 15 teams.
Yeah. No,
I think he set the record.
So he had a couple different stops along the way. Like with, I think he had a couple tours with a few different teams, but he played for
13.
Yeah.
13 teams.
Mets, Astros, A's, Yankees, Royals, Braves, White Sox, Pirates, Dodgers, Rockies, Blue Jays, Cardinals, Tigers.
We don't talk about that one.
So he didn't have any doubling up.
No.
But I still, every time I think of him, I think Mets or Astros. Just
I do too. Mets or Astros. That's who I would think of. So,
but
very sad news. Very tragic news. Octavio Dotel dying among 113 people at that nightclub in the Dominican Republic. It's Sean and RJ here on your Hump Day edition of the show. Sean's out. Paternity leave. Back next week. I'm RJ Choppy. He's Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden. What in the world are the Denver Nuggets doing? Stars make history, and Bobby attacks Hollywood. It's all coming up next to the Fan.
Bruce. Hey, y'all tell me, is Brucey B going anywhere? Hell no.
Hell no.
Hell no.
He did.
Hell no. Hey, we running this back. We running this back.
That is the voice of now former Denver Nuggets head coach, Micah Malone.
One of the greatest parade speeches of all time. Because Bruce Brown did leave, and Michael Malone was so damn drunk that parade.
Oh, big time.
Just get in the get loud.
What the hell are they doing? Nobody understood this move. Nobody across the sport understood this move. The Nuggets yesterday, with three games left, fired their head coach and their GM.
They did. They
cleaned house.
They fired their GM. Who is?
That's Calvin Booth.
Calvin Booth of
Calvin and Hobbs.
No, you remember Calvin Booth?
I do. Maryland, right?
Well, not just that. Calvin Booth was the layup that put the Mavericks ahead against the Jazz in Game 5. That first playoff run with Dirk and Nash and Finley. That was he got paid a massive amount of money by the Sonics the next offseason for that one layup. And he ended up being a total bust there. But yeah, that's what I always think of with Calvin Booth. I
don't know why I thought Maryland.
Where's
it from? Penn State.
Oh, yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
You totally missed that.
Yeah.
I don't know who you're thinking of. Sean, probably.
Probably Sean, yeah.
No, Sean texting in this morning, by the way. Or not texting, reacting to our texts. I should mention it because I know he gets worked up when we don't mention his texts. So there's that. Kevin O'Connor yesterday from... who's he with? He is with
the Ringer, right?
I think so. Yeah, the Ringer. No, he's with Yahoo now. See, that's what I was saying. I couldn't remember if he had changed spots. Kevin O'Connor with Yahoo tweeted this yesterday. Absolutely nuts. Calvin Booth and Michael Malone never liked each other, rarely spoke, and talked behind each other's backs. With the team struggling on the court, Nuggets ownership decided to fire both. Insane. So this is Nuggets. This is the Nuggets basically going like, we have a problem here between coach and GM, and instead of just picking one of you, I'm getting rid of both. I kind of respect the decision.
Could you not get rid of them in 3 weeks?
That's the thing. I just don't understand the timing. I respect the decision. I don't get the timing.
Fire them both in the offseason. The hell do I care? Like, you just torpedoed. Now you're going to have Dave Adelman, Nepo baby over there, are going to be coaching this team?
I mean, they're right. They could still finish third.
Yeah, I think... Two's out of reach.
Yeah, two's out of reach. They can finish third.
They can finish like sixth too, right? That's the way the West is.
I mean, they could conceivably finish eighth.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're right there.
There's three games left. What are you doing? It had to be done today? My gosh, you took the Henry Kissinger line a little bit too literally.
But that could be the case where if things have become so toxic between Malone and Booth, that they were like, literally our only shot is to clear both of them. But see, Booth is not... So here's what the Nuggets decided to do. Michael Malone's fired effective immediately. That's done. Calvin Booth is still there.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're just not renewing his contract, which is a little weird. That's like, hey, hang around the building for a couple weeks, but you're fired.
Listen, I don't know if Kroenke and Kroenke's kiddo, the Brick Johnson of the Denver Nuggets...
It's still wild that somebody would call their child Brick Johnson.
But I don't know if the Kroenkes are aware. You don't need a GM today.
No, like that's the one you probably could move on.
You could move
on
from the GM today and be fine with it. And then fire the coach in 3 weeks when they get knocked out or whatever it is.
Which Michael Malone had just gone off on his players last week. Said that his players don't watch film. He thinks they're full of S when they say they do. Like, I mean, it could just be the players were like, we're done with this. But, I mean, this all threw a lot of stuff into turmoil. We got betting odds all of a sudden yesterday of Nikola Jokic's next team, which, by the way, the favorite, the Lakers.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Imagine how good that would have been. Just if you would have kept Luka.
Kept Luka, you'd have Jokic here. But then Nika would have had two guys that he thinks doesn't care about basketball because they go home in the summertime and play with their horses and have a beer or whatever.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem.
That's an issue there for him.
But this is crazy, man. Like you have the best player on the planet. Joker's going to wind up being, when this thing is all said and done, we're going to have to discuss who in the top 10 is getting knocked out for Joker. All time. At some point, that's going to happen. If you another one more MVP or another NBA Finals, like someone's getting knocked out.
I'm going to have that answer for you because we're going to talk Luka. We're going to go more in depth hearing what people want from the Luka game tonight. When we do basketball, then again, I'll have my list because I got to look at it because I know it's easy for me to say he's top 10 and he is. I know he is. But I know once I look at the list, I'm going to have a hard time moving somebody.
So you've got a chance in the postseason. And who cares? The dirty little secret. I found this dirty little secret out when I was in the G League.
Okay. You sound like one of those old internet ads. This one weird trick will lower your electric
bill. Right. They don't game plan during the regular season. They watch film and stuff. They're like, all right, you know what? This is kind of what they do. Let's just kind of focus on this. The game plan is in the playoffs. That's when you game plan. And that's why the defense and A gets so much better and you see so much more coaching. Week to week, it's just like, hey, rolling the ball out there, our guys against your guys, regular season. Teams that game plan are the ones that, like, they're the teams that come from no. Remember Utah that one year? They were like, they had a really good season. And everybody was like, they're not that good. They were playing 40 minutes of hell. Yeah. They were trying. That's the reality of it. Like, who cares if he's watching film? Are they going to watch film in the playoffs?
I would assume so. But I mean, like, there's clearly tension there.
Yeah, there is. There's obvious tension.
But I mean, we've seen this a couple different times now. You had Mike Brown getting fired. Who was it last year? Adrian Griffin got fired for Doc Rivers in the middle of the season. We just get this one. What was the other firing we got just like 2 weeks ago that I'm blanking on? I can't remember. But in the NBA recently, they've had, this is something where they will hold you to the standards. All right, we're making a change in the middle of the year. We're not even worried about it.
They did. This is now a couple times this has happened. The kiss of death is being a one-ring coach in the NBA. Nick Nurse, Budenholzer, Frank Vogel. And now Michael Malone, all fired, and they all won a title in the last 5 years.
I've always thought of Malone as a good coach.
I did too. I think he's a really good coach. So this makes absolutely no sense. But hey, not my teams. What the hell do I care? Stars suffer a brutal defeat to Vancouver. They were up 5-2 with a minute to go. They wind up losing in overtime 6-5. First team in NHL history to blow a 3-goal lead in the final minute. First team in NHL history to have an empty netter up 2 and lose that game. Here's Pete DeBoer on the collapse.
Thankfully, it's not a playoff game. Hopefully, we learn from it. We did. It's unfortunate because it's going to cloud some of the really good things we did tonight for big portions of that game. But you got to play for 60 minutes, and we didn't, and, you know, for whatever reason, we didn't execute down the stretch. So, you know, it's disappointing because we did put in some work tonight, you know, in a positive direction, I thought.
I mean, they had 3 power play goals in the first couple of periods. They were rolling.
They looked good. Like you said.
Skating downhill, as you would say.
That's what we call it there in hockey. But, no, they looked good on the power play, and it felt like, all right, this is a game you're in control of, and then you sensed it. As soon as they get that last goal with 5 seconds left or whatever it was.
I think it was 7.
To tie it up at 5. I was just ahead. I was like, all right, well, they're going to lose this game. It's one of those, whenever you have one of those scale the mountain type moments in professional sports period, I always feel like that psychologically is just too much to rebound for.
It's a lot. Fresh Spits and Suds is available in the Odyssey.
Spits and Suds.
Odyssey app. Bobby? I'm not going after Hollywood.
I pulled this story specifically for you.
Okay.
I saw this headline and I said, you know what? Chop needs this. There's been a lot of talk, controversially, so, about emissions, carbon emissions, those sort of things being polluted into the air.
Yeah, I mean that's why people buy Teslas.
And exactly. Because they think
really
those
weird to burn them now.
Those old Fast and Furious cars.
Are they just polluting
the air?
I think I do a Fast and Furious with electric vehicles. Like you think those are faster, right?
No, I would hope they wouldn't do that. That doesn't feel like Fast and Furious, does it?
I don't know. You go faster, quicker.
Well, that's your show. Or yeah, that's your that movie. That is your hero. What's his name?
Dom Toretto.
Dom Irera or whatever.
Not Dom Irera. That's a comedian. Dominic Toretto.
Yeah.
Is the actor.
Yeah, that's the guy.
Brian O'Connor.
Yep, there you go. So Fast and Furious, The Guardian had this note the other day. Disney Snow White had higher carbon emissions than the latest Fast and Furious film. So anytime anybody goes at you for your Fast and Furious love, outside of just the corniness of it, which it is corny. It's a corny movie. I can't get into it. I was kind of okay with the first one.
And the next nine just didn't do it for you?
I didn't watch the next nine. I watched some of the second, and then I always thought Tokyo Drift looked stupid. So I never bothered. And I just checked out from that point on. But if somebody gives you hell about, you know, oh, you support that movie that's polluting the environment, you can say, well, did you take your kids to see Disney's Snow White?
Uh-huh.
Turns out that's more like...
How is that possible? I'll tell you how it's possible. I know how it's possible. Because, spoiler alert, there was an entire scene in the last Fast and the Furious. It took about 30 minutes. Where Tej and Roman were in a old Pontiac Fiero. Remember those things?
Yes.
That was going to space. They went to space in a Pontiac Fiero. And I think that was probably shot in a studio. So there was no carbon emissions there because it was probably not a real thing. Plus, they probably don't do any of their scenes in a real actual car.
So Fonzie jumped the shark. They jumped the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. That was the moment for me. I was like, all right, you know what?
We're done with this.
I'm going to finish. All right. I'm pot committed here with the series. I'm going to finish it. But that scene where they went up to outer space, that kind of did it for me in a Pontiac Fiero. I mean, if they did it in a little bit more of a realistic vehicle.
Is that the first time you've ever said, I'm going to finish, but I'm not going to be proud of this?
Yeah. Like, it didn't turn me off when they jumped three different buildings in Dubai.
By the way,
that didn't bother me as much as that did.
AK over on the YouTube says Tokyo Drift is the best one, Chop.
You know, I don't like it. I just can't get into it.
Is that going to be a take, though? Is it going to be one of those things where...
There are people that believe that.
If you hate, because there are people who so intensely hate Tokyo Drift, then if you just have a completely different perspective on what it should be, then you're naturally going to think that's the best one.
No, it's not bad. Here's the problem. It doesn't have the rest of the cast in it other than Han and a little bit of Dom Toretto. But like... The antagonist, that's the bad guy, right? The antagonist?
Yep.
It's like he went to acting class and they taught him one move. And that's like he sits there with his head kind of down and he looks up at you, right? Like that's his sinister look.
Yeah.
Where he's looking up. And I'm like, all right, just get another move.
Man, the YouTube loves Tokyo Drift. They are chiming in saying it's the best one.
If you want to talk about from a strict car perspective, I get down with that. I get down with that. It's from a car perspective, it's good. I don't know. I'll tell you this. It aged much better than it was in the initial because it set up a lot of things within the series. It set up a lot of good stuff.
Brilliantly written.
Brilliantly series, written. Yeah. Coming up next on Sean and RJ, 7 o'clock hour. We chop it up in the expressway. We have a preview of Luka versus the Mavs and the college kegger next on 105.3 The Fan.